Well, it's good to be here this evening. Probably a lot of you have seen me before. Some of you know me, some of you don't know who I am. But my name is Sean Michaud. Told me I had 30 minutes this evening, so we'll see what happens. 35, thank you. 38. And being that I'm a Bible teacher, it's kind of difficult for me to decide what to do in 30 minutes. But I believe it's going to be a blessing tonight. I'm going to share with you something that the Lord revealed to me and shared with me. There's so many things. How many of you know when you open up the Bible, there's so many things you can just teach? How many of you have discovered since coming into an understanding and revelation of grace, pretty much any topic you can teach with a whole new angle? I can just open the Bible and just start teaching, but I'm not going to do that this evening. But like I said, my name is Sean Michaud. I'm originally from the United States. I'm from Louisiana, from New Orleans, Louisiana. Some people call me a Cajun, although I'm not a Cajun, but I can cook Cajun food. But my wife is from the island of Trinidad and Tobago in the Caribbean. And so it hasn't been too good for the West Indies fans nor the South African fans. So we're not talking about that tonight. We want to be in a good mood. But amen. And so back in 1995, I gave my life to the Lord March 12th, 1995. And it's been an absolute journey ever since. It's been exciting. I can't say it's always been fun, but it's been exciting. Most of the time it's been fun. But you know what? I've done this many times. When I go into churches, I say, you know, when I gave my life to Christ, you know, I went to university and graduated and I started working a job and I was doing well and I was being promoted and all these types of things. And I had a girlfriend, fiance, if you want to call it like that. And I gave my life to Christ and forgot I had one. That's not good. But it was kind of easier to do because she lived about, I don't know, must have been at least 1,000 miles away. So, you know, there was kind of a reason. But anyway, I told her what happened to me and she thought I'd joined a cult. And so anyway, I remember getting on my knees and I remember praying and saying, God, for all these years I've lived my life for myself. I was 24 years old because I'd grown up in church, you know, ever since my parents, since I was in my mother's womb, they dedicated me to the Lord. And I grew up in church, but, you know, I didn't have that, I don't know what you want to call it, commitment, understanding, whatever it is. When I was 24 years old, I said, enough is enough. I want to live the rest of my life with Jesus. You know, everybody needs to come to that point. And so if you're a parent and your children don't seem to be as on fire as you think they should, you know what? Just believe God. Because if there's word been deposited in their hearts, there's something for God to work with. I remember night after night after night, just when I had time to think, my mind always went back to eternal matters. And I think everyone's like that. Even those who say there is no God, why are they so adamant that they say there is no God if they weren't thinking there was a God? When they're asleep, when they're laying on their bed all alone, just them and no one else, and they have nothing to do, I guarantee you their mind starts to reflect on those things. It's true. And so I remember I said, you know what, I gave my life to Christ, and I remember I said, Lord God, I've lived my life for myself all these years. For the rest of my life, I will do whatever you want me to do, and I will go wherever you want me to go. You know what? God took me seriously because I meant it. And so I'm telling you, from that point on, my life totally changed. You know, I've gone church after church after church, whether it be spirit-filled full gospel or not so spirit-filled or not so full gospel, depending on what you want to define it. And I am shocked that so many believers, when I say what I just said and say, almost, have you done that? They look at me like, oh, you know, I want to go to heaven and I want to love God and I'll give my tithes or offerings or depending on which church you go to. But I don't want to go that far because maybe he'll send me to Africa. And look at me, I'm in Africa. I had no idea. My daughter, 6 years old, told us we were going to Africa. And we said, oh, that's nice, dear. We were in Russia at the time. I don't have time to give my full testimony. But you know what? You will never lose when you get down before God and you say, God, I belong to you. You only lose before you do that. Because there's nothing like what God has in store for you, that because God is such a good God, how many of you discover he's a good God? He doesn't force his will and his desires upon you. God wants us to want what He wants for us. And what I've discovered is God knows more than we know. Now, that takes a revelation for some people. Because how many times have we prayed specific prayers, almost telling God, this is the way it should be done? I've done that. I'm just be honest. Looking back, I've done that before. But I want to talk about some things tonight because, you know, God has sent me around the world. And I don't say that bragging. I'm not saying that. That's what's happened. When I said, God, I will go wherever you want me to go, He said, okay. And He led me to quit my job immediately. I was 24 years old, being promoted. I had exceeded my goals I set for myself. How many of you in the world tells you you need to set goals for yourself? You know, you do. I'm not saying you don't. But you know what? You'll meet them and still be miserable. Or you won't meet them and you'll be miserable. It's true. And so I set all these goals for myself. I wanted to be promoted within 2 years. I was promoted within 1 year. I want to be this by this time. I was exceeding all of the goals I set for myself. And it dawned on me that this was the best the world had to offer. Unlike all the beer commercials we see on TV. Didn't life look good on those beer commercials? It doesn't work that way. How many of you figured that one out? But God led me to quit that good, cushy job. I mean, it was only looking bright. My future was so bright with that company, I had to squint to look at it. It was true. When I said I'm quitting, I'd give my life to Christ, and I quit that job. It was amazing how many guys high up tried to talk me out of it, telling me I was making the wrong decision. And you know what? I did not make the wrong decision. The Lord led me to go to Mobile, Alabama. That's where I met Lisa. She was going to nursing school. God put us together. I'd had a dream, just like the brother said he had a dream. God showed me that he wanted me to go to Bible school. I had no idea where. And I found out about Andrew Womack. I'd never heard of him. The first time I ever heard of him or ever met him was when I showed up to Bible school. Now some of you say, that's crazy. Not to me, it's not. There's nothing crazy when you know what God's telling you to do. It's only crazy not to do what God has put on your heart. That's what's crazy. And so we went there and God led us and He sent us all around the world. We've been to Russia. We've been to Trinidad and Tobago. We've been to Venezuela and now we are here. Amen. And through my experiences of going and going to Villa, when we were in Russia, we had Bible schools. We were teaching people. We saw 8 different churches planted and more from those churches planted. So we've seen a lot of good fruit that God has done. But when we went to Russia, back in 2006, we were in Russia for 4.5 years. God led us to start going to pagan villages that did not have any gospel witness, that did not have a church. Now, when I say did not have a church, I don't mean they didn't have a church like this one. I mean, there was nothing. When I first went to Russia, there were towns of 200,000 people with not one church in them. Not our kind of church. Not there was no Baptist church. Not there was no Catholic. There was nothing. These were towns built after the Soviet Union. And how many of you remember the Soviet Union didn't really like Christians? And so we started planting churches in cities that had no church and no gospel witness. And so God sent me, He put on our heart strongly to go to these villages, these pagan villages, where just a little over 100 years ago, they were still offering human sacrifice. And God sent me to go minister and preach the gospel to those places. You know what? I learned a lot by going to those places. It wasn't all glorious. There were some times I went there and felt like I left with my tail between my legs. How many of you know sometimes you obey God, it doesn't always turn out exactly the way you envisioned it. But if you don't give up, you'll start to see what God has in store. And so we started going to those villages and we started to lay hands on people. We started to preach the gospel. We started to see people heal. How many of you know God still heals today? I know you do. I've been sitting in this church and I've been hearing these things. He's been teaching on these things. So today I'm going to teach on something about healing. It's not about healing. It's not about God wants you to be healed and wants you to be well. We know those things. But I want to hit it from an angle, from my experiences, when we go out to preach the gospel and lay hands on people, how many of you have discovered the devil doesn't just roll over and play dead? And you know where he starts to attack generally? Most of the time, he attacks you in your own mind. When I was going to those villages, I had to battle, what are you doing? What are you doing? Those people won't listen to you. They won't receive from you. What if the, and I had so many people telling me, don't go to those people. The Russians hated, I mean, there was a different group of people that were called Maris. They looked down upon them. When their children misbehaved, they said, "You better behave, you all. Send you the Maris." I mean, that was the kind of things that the people we were going to. And have people say, "Don't go to them, they'll put a curse on you." Back in the Soviet Union, all these things, people would go there, and if they didn't like you, they'd put a curse on you, and you'd die after 2 days. Well, of course, I'm a believer, so I'd say, it doesn't matter if they put a curse on me. The blessing's greater than the curse. And no curse that comes upon me can do any damage to me. Now, but you know what? I still had to deal with those thoughts. On my way there, I don't care what you say, how many of you, and most of us here are white, not everybody is, but how many of you feel strongly God wants you to go and minister into some of the informal settlements? And fear is stopping you. Hello? What if I go there and they kill me? They're not going to kill you. I went to one. Man, they love you. If you go there and start ministering to them and laying hands on them and seeing them healed, they're going to love you and everyone's going to come around. That's what the devil's trying to stop. And I'm going to share with you tonight why the devil attacks you in your mind so greatly when you decide to go out and bring the gospel to people. How many of you have prayed for someone for healing? Raise your hand. Now, I want you to raise your hand again. Now, maybe you're different than me, but I had to battle these thoughts. And that is when I laid hands on someone, these thoughts would come, nothing's happening and you're going to look stupid. I'm not the only one. Hallelujah. I'm in the right group tonight. We have to recognize what's going on. Those are not our thoughts. Those are the thoughts of Satan coming against us because he is so terrified that you would start to walk in your covenant rights and privileges as a child of God and being a conduit of God. Notice what I said. We are jumper cables. How many of you know what jumper... Don't you call them jumper cables here? Different countries get great. You call them jumper cables. How many of you know the jumper cable has no power in it in and of itself? But if you hook it up to a power source, you better watch where you lay those things on. How many of you know we have a power source living on the inside of us? The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells on the inside of you. No wonder the devil's trying to cloud your thinking to say, it won't work if you do it, maybe if Pastor Steve does it, but not you. Because he knows it will work if you do it. So let's turn over to Acts chapter 10. Is this for me? It is now, if it isn't. Let me just preface this. Some of my greatest miracles I've seen lots of people healed. Lots of bona fide, medically qualified miracles. And just about every single one of those, the devil was lying to me as I was laying hands on them that nothing is going to happen, nothing's going to work, this one's too big, maybe you saw it work before, whatever, whatever, whatever. All those thoughts will come against your mind to get you to lose heart and to become discouraged and just to say a little, be blessed, warmed and filled, go back home. You know, that's a lot easier to do. I've been in hospitals where it was easier for me when I'm looking at them. Now, how many of you have discovered that when you look at someone and they look in really bad shape, the devil uses those things to play on your mind? And you want to do one of those little, you're not Catholic, but you want to do one. See ya. Every single time, I would almost say every time I've seen a great miracle, deaf ears open, people healed of cancer, people healed of whatever ailments, the devil was whispering in my ear, and he whispers in first person. Sometimes he messes up and says, you. How many of you ever heard you before? Man, if you ever hear you, there should be no doubt who's talking to you. You know, sometimes you need to laugh at the devil. I remember one time, and I'm kind of getting off the track here, but I remember one time I was praying for three needs specifically when I was in Bible school, and I heard, you're not going to make it. I said, what? I don't think like that. I would have said, I'm not going to make it. Thank you, devil, for encouraging me. You know what happened? How many of you know the devil's a spirit of confusion? Right? He gets confused very easily. Whoa. He's not supposed to get encouraged. Go ahead. Take your hands off before we're encouraging him. I'm telling you, folks, I saw miracles happen. I'm not building a doctrine here, just go around laughing at the devil, but when he attacks you, and you recognize who it is, there's a reason why he's lying to you. And you should take it as a compliment. Thank you, Satan. That's the only time you should thank him now, by the way. Because you're the father of lies. You cannot tell the truth. If you say, if I lay hands on him, nothing will happen, that means there will, something will happen. Thank you for encouraging me today. You know, he'll run quick. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 10. Let's look at verse 38. I know we all know this verse. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How many of you have been anointed with the Holy Spirit? How many of you are born again? How many of you are baptized in the Holy Spirit? Then you are anointed with the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that Jesus was anointed with. You have that same Holy Spirit. John, are you saying that I'm Jesus? Well, if you're born again, he lives inside of you. You're not the power source he is. You're just the jumper cables. But if you don't connect yourself to someone who has need to have a power transfer, then guess what? That power will stay dormant inside of you. And since these are the jumper cables, I want you everyone to do this. Jumper cables. Jumper cables. Next time you go up to someone who needs help, do this. You know what? If you need to do that, do that. Whatever you need to do to paint a picture inside of your mind that God wants you to see, you need to do that. Now, do it before you show up. It may freak them out a little bit. But you need to acknowledge and you need to believe that Jesus lives on the inside of you. And even though you yourself are not Jesus, you have Jesus with you. And you are taking him everywhere you go. How many of you know if we walked around with that revelation and we were constantly aware that Jesus lives on the inside of us, this place would be totally different. I'm just being honest. I fail all the time at this. But you know what? If all of us tonight would recognize we're just jumper cables, we can do this. I guarantee you Pinetown would be turned upside down. I'm not here to condemn because I'm failing myself. I'm here to encourage that we can really start to do this. We can really start to go out. We can really start to put a demand on the power supply that we have not been putting a demand on before. A lot of people don't like this kind of preaching because it puts responsibility on us. But I love this kind of preaching because it's not God is not the problem. We are. And he's not mad at us. He's just waiting for us to wake up and realize what we've got is true. And so if we had the same Holy Spirit that Jesus had, and it says, and he went about doing good and healing all, not some. We see some healed because we put limitations on our own thinking. You know what? I can heal asthma, but I can't heal AIDS. Well, you know what? You're right. I can heal someone in a wheelchair, but I can't raise them from the dead. You're right. Whatever limitation you put on yourself, you will live up to that every time. Whatever ceiling you put on yourself, you will max out at that every time. The reason I'm saying this is obviously not to discourage, but to get us to shatter those ceilings that we have painted and built for ourselves with the devil's help so that we can start to say, wheelchair? What is that? You know, I've been praying for people with AIDS, and I believe I've seen some people healed of AIDS. I haven't had some feedback yet, but I believe so. Why not when everything else was healed? Why not that? And it says, he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So what does that mean? Every time we go and we lay hands on someone, the devil is there. Why do you think we have those thoughts all the time? Think about that, folks. That's not going to be the devil, more than likely, but it's going to be a little minion that's been assigned in that area, whatever it is. Now, there are times I prayed for people and it was purely physical, like they got in a car accident and didn't seem to have a lot of those thoughts. I'm starting to, you know, we have to think about what goes on when we minister to people. But I've thought of other times when the attack was heavy, when I was laying hands on them, and guess what? That means the devil was there, and he was trying to stop what God was wanting to do. You know, things haven't stopped since the days of Bible times, folks. So when we go out, we realize we're anointed with the same Holy Spirit Jesus was anointed with. We recognize that we can now do good and heal all who are sick and oppressed of the devil, for God is with us. How many of you have read in John chapter 14, verse 12, it says, "The same works that I do, you shall do." Isn't it John chapter 14? Is it John chapter 12? Let me see real quick. It is John chapter 14, verse 12. "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me..." How many of you are a believer? Raise your hand if you're a believer. We will deal with the rest of you in shortly. But it says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will..." And he's not saying he gender here. "He will do also." Now, how many of you believe Jesus tells the truth? You know, a lot of people, when it comes to this, don't believe Jesus is telling the truth. They just try to, "Oh, well, you know, who knows what he meant?" Oh, no, he meant exactly what he said. Because when I started to really believe that, I started to see the same results. But until I started to really believe that, I saw very few results. It's amazing how that works. And I've discovered it's because God doesn't force himself, nor his will, nor what he desires on anyone. You know, people say, "Oh God, if you can use me, Lord, if you can use anything, Lord, use me." So why isn't he using them? Because that's not the way it works. We have to believe it. And God doesn't use us anyway. He flows through us. People use people. Now I know in a positive sense God uses us, but it's in a positive way. It's never using, and as soon as he gets everything he can out of you, he discards you. That's not it at all. I've seen minister after minister after minister, when they get older and they can no longer minister the way they used to, I've seen God sometimes take care of them better than they did while they were. That's not the way God does things. He always takes care of his people. He never forgets those and their labor of love which they showed for him. You know, Lisa's father, he used to be a full-time evangelist, preaching. He's been preaching over for 40-something years. He's been a full-time evangelist for over 30-something years. And he used to preach 6 nights a week, and Lisa confirmed that. I thought maybe her dad was just exaggerating. No, I had to go to those meetings as she was growing up. So he used to have tent crusades all over the island of Trinidad and all over the Caribbean. And I've ran into so many ministers that got saved in his crusades. So God used them mightily. And now he's slowing down. He's not doing all the things he used to do. And guess what? God is blessing him super, super abundantly. You know what? Man wouldn't do that. Okay, we'll give you a nice severance package and we're done with you. It's not the way God does things. So God doesn't use us. Amen. God flows through us, the people that he loves passionately. So let's turn over and let's see why the devil does what he does. Why does the devil attack us in our minds when we start to walk and start to believe what God says and we start to step out and we start to preach the gospel? Don't preach to them. They won't listen to you. How many of you ever had that come to you? Don't talk to your neighbor. You feel like God's, don't talk to them. Wait till tomorrow, or wait till so-and-so, or wait till, they won't listen to you anyway. They're a biker, or whatever they are. Not going to say that, because I saw some bikers here. But let's turn over to John, chapter 9. We're going to see why the devil does what he does. And then, like I said, there's so much that I could say. I'm going to have to kind of speed up quite a bit of things. Let's look at John, chapter 9. Let's look at verse 1. You know, there's so much that I could say on this. This is not the topic. But John, chapter 9, verse 1. It says, "Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?'" Now, this is the typical religious question. Why is this man the way he is? There has to be some reason. There has to be some sin in his life or his parents' life or someone's life that this is true about him. Now, folks, I've actually had someone teach this scripture and try to prove generational curses are still valid today, even though Christ died for us and redeemed us from the curse. And even though now that we are in Christ, we're a new creation, old things have passed away, old things have become new, and they've tried to use this one. And all they had to do is read the next verse. How many of you know religion stops short? Look at the next verse. Neither. I believe Jesus had a puzzled look on his face too, like, who cares? This is someone who has need of healing. Who cares why he's in the condition he's in? Brother, would you pray for me? I have AIDS. Why do you have AIDS? You must be living in fornication. Probably. But God wants to heal him anyway. You think it's a shock to God? No. I love what Pastor Steve has been saying, because I've been saying that for years. Do you think everyone that Jesus healed them all was all living totally righteous and holy and had no sin? Of course not. And I always love it when people say, God cannot abide with sin, brother. And now I understand what they're trying to say. Understand what I'm saying. I believe grace sets us free from sin. It empowers us to live victorious. But if Jesus could not abide, if God cannot abide in sin and He had turned us back, then how could Jesus abide with sinful men? You saying He's not God? Ooh, can't answer that one. Folks, we're the ones who put limitations on God again. And if you start saying, why do you have this problem? Now, if you're asking for the question of helping them so they don't return to that thing, no, I understand. But if you're judging them, and honestly, that's where most of it is, when we're praying for people and they come up and they're sick, they have AIDS, they have this, and we say, why do you have this problem? We're really wanting to know, in our own minds, whether or not we're sizing them up, whether or not God's power will flow towards them, because they either deserve it or they don't deserve it. Isn't that true? But Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. There's a whole lot I could say about that. Let's move on. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. So I want you to see something here, folks. Did this man see when Jesus put the clay on his eyes? The answer is yes and no. I'm going to show you in a minute here. This is very important when you're ministering healing to someone. He literally didn't see the manifestation until he believed. And I believe Jesus told him to go wash, not because it was some weird thing he had to do, but this guy was blind his whole life. Jesus knew that he needed some sort of response to what Jesus just did for him. Isn't that what faith is? We respond to what God's done. So he said, go wash. Could you imagine he was doing this? Could you imagine on the way he could have said, you know what, it's not worth it, man. It's just not worth it. No, but he was persistent, and he went all the way because he believed Christ. You know, people who give up so easy didn't really believe it. But when you believe it, nothing stops you. How many of you discover what I'm talking about? But anyway, let's go on and look at a different portion of Scripture right here, because I could just sit there and read all these verses. Let's go down to verse 24, and just to give a paraphrase, the Pharisees found the man who was blind. He said, who did this? He said, I don't know, some man named Jesus. Why? He couldn't physically see. He said, I don't know who it is, but there's a man named Jesus did this. And so they're disputing with him and saying that could not have happened. And they ask his parents, and they said, yes, it's him, but they're scared. And they say, well, you ask him, he's of age, and all those types of things. But in verse 24, it says, until again they called the man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory. We know that this man's a sinner. Why? Because he didn't heal the way they said that Jesus should heal if he's really a man from God, even though they didn't heal any of the other 6 days either. Now think about that one. In verse 25, and he answered and said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered them, I told you all. Now this guy has a good attitude. I like this guy's attitude. He's like, you guys are pathetic, man. I don't care if you believe or not. How many of you had so many people in church, in the church, in the religious world, they want to fight you by what you've seen happen? How do you know the guy was really sick? How do you know he was really paralyzed? How do you know he was dead? Don't even fight these. Don't even worry about that. Just say, look, I don't care what you think. Why? You want to believe too? Yeah, hopefully you say yes. I don't have time to read all that, but it's really good reading. You should really read this. The way the Pharisees say, you were completely born in sins, and are you teaching us? Why'd they say that? Because you were blind. We know that God's wrath was on you, and you're telling us. You're trying to teach us what the Bible says? Actually, yes. Because he was right and they were wrong. This is verse 35. This is very awesome. Jesus heard that they cast him out of the synagogue. In other words, you're no longer part of the covenant of Israel. So verse 35, Jesus heard that they cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? Remember, this guy had never seen Jesus physically. That's why I said a while ago, yes and no. When did he receive his sight? Depends on which sight you're talking about. Verse 36 says, he answered and said to him, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him." Hello. "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." So this man saw Christ with his spiritual eyes long before he ever saw him with his physical eyes. In other words, Jesus ministered such life to him that man was as good as seeing as far as that man was concerned. That man saw himself seeing. You see that? Sometimes we try to pray for people and minister to people and we don't connect with them on a heart level, and they're not truly seeing themselves the way God says they are. God says you're healed. By His stripes you were healed. But they still see themselves as deficient. Now, brothers and sisters, I know there's all kind of testimonies of people who seem like they weren't really believing like someone else. Don't worry about all that stuff. I don't understand everything. But one thing I have discovered about the majority of the healings that I've seen, those people believe with their whole heart before they saw it come to pass. They saw themselves healed long before they actually saw it physically. You see that? And Jesus said, "You've seen me. You saw me with your hearts." I can see that guy, "Oh, I believe." Now watch this. Verse 38, then he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Look at verse 39. I'm getting to a point here. Verse 39 says, "For judgment I have come into this world." Now this is very important, folks, for us to see. Because when you understand why the devil fights us, we will start to see that it's because of this is why he fights us. Now, I need to go real quickly and go through some more verses. Let's go to John chapter 12 and verse 31. John chapter 12 and verse 31. And Jesus says, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out." Who's he talking about? He's talking about Satan. You see that? Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into the world." And he said, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out." So let's go to John 12, 47. And Jesus says, "If anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world." Now wait a minute. Didn't you just say, "For judgment I have come to this world," and now you say, "I did not come to judge the world"? Which one is it? Both. Jesus didn't come to judge the people that are in the world. He came to judge the ruler that is dominating the people and they don't even know it. He came to spoil Satan and his power and to set the captives free. How many of you know there's a stronger man who's come and he's bound the devil? How many of you know that? And the preaching of the kingdom of God is to tell people that the devil's defeated. And part of the proof of that is when we lay hands on the sick and we see them recover. One more verse. John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Now, when God started showing me this stuff, it really started to light a fire in me, because I started to recognize why every time I went to preach the gospel, specifically, lay hands on the sick, I would always be under torment. And once I started to figure this out, I kind of chuckled. Because I know what's going on. And I started to see more results after receiving this understanding than before. Now look at John chapter 16 and verse 7. Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me." So what is the sin the Holy Spirit is going to reprove or convict the world of? The sin of not believing in Jesus. So that's what we're to teach. Preach Christ to them so they can believe. He's not going to convict them of their adultery, make them feel rotten about all the bad stuff they're doing. He's going to convict them that they need Jesus. Because Jesus is the answer to all those things anyway. The reason those things are in their life is because Jesus is absent from their life. The love, the power, the grace, the mercy. When you truly grab a hold of that, or I may rephrase that, when it grabs a hold of you, it sets you free. How many have discovered that? Verse 10, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Verse 11, of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Now, folks, I have discovered that the devil has forgotten he lost. How many else has discovered that? And when you discover he lost, and you know you have authority over him, doesn't mean he just rolls over and plays dead. He just changes his mode of attack. And starts playing on your mind. But when you know this, you see, Paul wrote and he said, brethren, we're not ignorant of the devil's devices. And what I've discovered is the brethren are ignorant of the devil's devices. Whatever his devices, he attacks us in our thought realm. He attacks us to feeling, and I could keep teaching, but we're running out of time here. I have so many examples, but he attacks us into feeling that, yes, God has power, but it's not going to flow through you because you haven't read your Bible enough, you haven't prayed enough, you haven't fasted enough. All these things that even though when we come under grace, understand these things, we still have to make sure that we don't allow all of those ways of thinking that are true in this natural realm. How many of you have discovered in this realm that is true? You're not going to become a CEO if you don't have the mental capacity and the ability to do it. I'm sorry, you're not. It's not a popularity position. But in Christ, you're qualified because of what He's done for you. How many of you remember that verse in verse 12? Let's just go there real quick. Acts chapter 3. I should finish. Acts chapter 3, and I could just teach on this whole chapter. But how many of you remember there was a man that was lame from his mother's womb laid at the gate? How many of you remember in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said, go preach the gospel, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Freely you have received, freely give. Right? He told us to do that. So why did Jesus tell us to do that if we can't do that? Well, we can. So Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I'm giving you. What did Jesus say? Freely receive, freely give. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So what happened? He rose up and he walked, and it says, and all the people saw it. You know, that's sometimes what stops a lot of us. Because we lay hands on someone, we look around, there's people watching. We say, ooh, what if nothing happens? I'll look foolish. But what happens here? Acts chapter 3, verse 11 says, now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw what? That they were so amazed. He responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness, we had made this man walk. In other words, Peter wasn't looking to all what he was doing to be qualified for God to flow through him. He said, it is nothing to do with me. It is faith in the name of Jesus Christ, which has made this man whole, which you now see before you. It is only because of what Christ did. We always have to remember that the devil will always attack us in the realm until you get established in this of yes, God can do it, but not through you because, and he'll let all these reasons that'll come to your mind. You haven't read the Bible enough. You haven't prayed enough. Does that ever happen to you? It used to happen to me all the time until I started learning these things. And now when those thoughts come, I just laugh. See, it has nothing to do with me. Not by works of righteousness which I have done. God has qualified me. I'm accepted in the beloved, and I'm nothing but jumper cables. God's the power source. He wants to lay hands on this person to see them healed. You know, I could sit there and give testimony after testimony, but we're running out of time. But I saw one of my greatest miracles happen when I didn't feel like praying for the person. But I did it because I knew that I was just a vessel and God wanted to minister to them, even though I wanted to go home. I know that's never happened to any of you. But I saw God heal a woman, set her free, and all these things, and it had nothing to do with me. Because my attitude wasn't the best. Sorry if that offends your doctrine. But I said, God, it isn't about me. You want to minister to her. So, Lord, here I am. I'm just a vessel. I will pray for her. And, Lord, you can touch her through me. And obviously, I wasn't vicious or nothing. I ministered to her. But I wanted to go home. She was begging. I wanted to go home. Anyway, okay, Lord, you want to. She was healed. Folks, we are just the power. We're just the conduit, the jumper cables that God wants to flow through. No wonder the devil's trying to get us all corroded, looking to ourselves, telling you nothing when something is happening. I have so many testimonies I don't have time to go through. You want to hear them? I can't do that. We're running out of time. But praise God, I hope it was a blessing to you this evening. I do have some cards, and the reason why I have these is because I have those testimonies on the website, our website. If you want to, you can check it out. Amen. So you can come up and get this for me after the service. But anyway, let's go ahead and pray this evening. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time that we had in your word. Father, I just thank you for your goodness. Father, I thank you that, Lord, every single one of us are jumper cables. We're all a conduit of your power, of your grace, of your love, of your mercy towards this world that is dying, Father God, that is lost, that doesn't even know they're under the sway of the wicked one. So, Father, I thank you, Lord God, the next time, maybe this message, Father God, when they're thinking about, I need to pray for someone, they say, oh, but I haven't done this or I haven't done that. Lord, I thank you, Father, that this message will be brought back to their mind. And when they're laying hands on someone, when that thought comes, nothing's happening, Father, I think that they will not be shaken. They will say, oh, this is just the devil. Something awesome is happening. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your goodness, Father God. We thank you for every single person here, Father God, that, Lord, you are growing us. You are revealing yourself to us. You are revealing who we are, what you've already done inside of us. And Father, I thank you, Lord God, that as we come into understanding of these things, Lord, not only will our lives be affected for the better, but everyone else around us. And we thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name.